Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me in the remote studio, Adam Koons.
Hi.
And Amy Anderson. Hi, Amy. So, Beatles, you know, the Beatles were recorded. There were three studios inside Apple Studios.
Yeah.
So I think they were did most of their recording in Studio B. And then when they set up the studio down at the basement of Apple Corps, in 1969, they had, I think, went to Abbey Road and raided everything. Now, the reason I know all this is because I'm knee-deep in the Disney Plus 9-hour
right.
thing with Get Back, and I'm just fascinated by it. I'm in the second 3-hour segment, so it's been a really interesting. You know, this is the whole period of time when the Beatles are. There's a lot of infighting, and they didn't want to tour anymore. And
right.
So they're trying to figure out what the next big thing is. And they've set this deadline where they need to write 12 songs in 14 days. And, you know, what better recipe for a bunch of infighting to happen? But it's fascinating to see how these songs come together. So that's been my TV watching lately. But let's transition into what's going on in the market now. We have a increase in volatility. Equity markets are responding as, you know, heading into the end of the year. There's a penalty for negative earnings, for negative surprises and negative guidance. So we're seeing that start to happen. And the 10-year treasury trading down to a yield of, what, 139, 138?
Yeah. Yep.
So on that one, I got that wrong. I said it would be closer to 2% at the end of the year than 1.5. So we're blowing through the bottom end of it. But Adam, we got a lot to unpack.
We do.
So let's talk about volatility. I'm going to let you kick it off.
So yeah, just one thing I was looking at over the weekend that I tend to pay attention to is the actual curve of volatility. So we pay attention to the CBOE volatility index. We call it the VIX. It spiked to 30. It was kind of hovering around 15 for quite a while. And we would generally say normal volatility is 15 to 18%. And then when it goes above 20, that's when we start to, you know, kind of realize this heightened volatility. But the VIX is looking at volatility right now. It's called the spot.
So what is volatility? What's it really measuring?
Well, so volatility itself is the actual movement up and down in the price of securities. The VIX has a little more complicated calculation.
But it's related to the put options.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, the increase in the number of put options, which is a bet that investors are making.
Yep. So basically, as they put on more protection, it's saying that they think that there's more volatility coming. So their investors are willing to pay more for that protection, and that's what really drives the value of the VIX.
So what's causing this?
Well, so I think we've got a few different dynamics going on. One is just general uncertainty, right? You've got supply chain issues. You've got increased inflation. And then on the back of that, you've got growth scare from this COVID variant.
Yeah, and the financial press would like us to believe that it's the Omicron.
Sure, yeah, right.
The
right.
Variant. And but there's layers of issues that we're dealing with that are weighing on the market.
Yeah, and I think those are where you're going here is those are the bigger issues. And one of those is really just liquidity. And so as we head into, and we just saw it with one of the last treasury auctions, the fact that investment banks were willing to backbid the treasury by, you know, several basis points shows that the liquidity in the market is not always what we think it is. So that's a big driver. So you're able to see, especially during holidays, where markets can be manipulated and moved quite a bit by hedge funds or any other big players.
Yeah.
And then we've seen other times where, you know, retail Reddit type investors can move the market. So this notion that we have that markets are really liquid, I think is a little bit of a false presumption. And really, and we saw this in bond markets too, but it's really driven by ETFs, right? And yeah. Whether it's rebalances or just general portfolio trades where ETFs still have to buy or sell individual stocks. So when they're changing their baskets, it can move markets quite a bit.
Yeah. And the other issue is this inflation is we've talked about this endlessly, but the market's focused on it, but we're over, you know, 5% inflation. We have not seen that level of inflation in 30 years. So the markets, we have a whole generation of investors and traders that have not dealt with inflation.
Not at all.
So that's going to impact everything from risk assets to operating margins. We're seeing it flow through costs for companies, and it affects operating margins there. So anyway, all right. So we've got volatility that we're dealing with.
Yep.
How does that impact what we're doing with our models, our asset allocation heading into the end of the year?
Yeah, so running through asset allocation for our sectors last week, I'm going to start broadly and then kind of dig into it more. So we are remaining overweight in technology and communication services. We're also overweight consumer discretionary, and we're moving to overweight in our healthcare space. And then we are underweight in energy, financials, and utilities, and equal weight everything else. To dig further, specifically into the consumer discretionary, one of the big changes that we did make, while we overall didn't change the asset allocation, one of our concerns is the fact that that concentration risk continues to pick up. And as Tesla has continued to, the stock price has gone up and up, it's becoming an even bigger piece of that sector. So you've got Amazon and Tesla making up almost 50% of the sector. So one way to mitigate that risk is to buy equal weight securities. So mm-hmm. we have increased our allocation to the equal weight consumer discretionary, which is ticker RCD. And we are making that 40% of the total sector.
So we pair up an equally weighted ETF with a market-based ETF.
Yep.
And that helps to neutralize the large concentration.
Yep.
So on the tech thing, let's talk about this overweight to technology just a little bit, because
sure.
This was in the Winthrop Investment Committee meetings. This was hotly debated on how to handle this, because technology, we could paint a white brush over technology, and there are some large cap tech names that are just wonderful, wonderful companies with great business models and recurring revenues and opportunities for growth. And Microsoft is one of those companies. I think we would put Alphabet
absolutely
up there as well. But there's also some large companies that have a higher level of risk or volatility associated with it. And Tesla still comes to mind because
sure.
of the multiple that it trades at. So when we talk about earnings, when we talk about the overweight to tech, there's a segment of tech that got pummeled last month.
Yep.
Let's talk about that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, and you kind of hit on it at the beginning of the segment, was that the margin of error is pretty small right now, and so companies are being punished quite a bit for missing earnings. And two of the big losers last week were DocuSign and Asana, and we kind of joked about great products, but you know, right. the ability to
no profit.
Yeah, to make any profit, it continues to be difficult. And it's difficult because you see companies that are showing 30% revenue growth. You're saying, well, that seems great. Why is the stock down 40%? And it really just goes to show that the margin of error is, you know, if the expectation was they're going to grow at 50% and now it's 30%, it doesn't matter if it just generally seems like a high number. It's that we priced in so much growth over the past 2 years that there's just not much room.
Well, there's some really, really strong names. So Okta was down. This is just the month of November. It was down 9.5%. Match, which is one of our holdings, was down 11%.
Yep.
Spotify, down 14%. PayPal, which is, again, one of our larger holdings, that was down 20%.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, the penalty for, and these, nothing happened other than they started to guide lower. And
right.
So it's this risk-off mentality and the just kind of the re-rack. So I think that's what we're going to start to see heading into the end of the year, is more of this penalty for missing revenue expectations or growth rates or metrics, subscriber headcount. But anyway. All right. Anything on the company side that you got?
Just a couple more. Just Apple came out last week and guided down because of first – the thought was that it was supply chain issues, but really what it came down to is they cited that demand was actually lower. So that's why they backed off on some of their orders. So a little bit weaker demand out of Apple products. I don't think it's because people are shifting to Samsung or anything like that. We joked last week about if you walked into a AT&T store, that no one's buying Samsung. It's really mm-hmm. the Apple product. So I think part of this is just you know, a lot of consumers during the pandemic bought everything that they wanted, and maybe we're seeing some of that taper. But Apple also, I want to kind of caveat it with this, is they tend to, in the fourth quarter, lower the bar quite a bit so that they can achieve. This is something I've seen quite a bit out of them. So I wouldn't be surprised at them setting this bar lower. It just gives them a, you know, an easy overreach. But, and then last week, Didi, a Chinese-based IPO that kind of hit the news, maybe 6 months ago, has now been delisted, and they're searching for a new listing on the Hong Kong exchange. And this really comes on the back of China clamping down on IPOs. And this was a little bit more of a esoteric IPO where they did it through an SPV. And so we think this is very company specific. While there's a lot of headlines out of Wall Street press that this is every company that's Chinese is going to be delisted, we don't see that as a case.
So in the news this morning too, related to China, the Wall Street Journal reported that they are looking at a military base in the Atlantic Ocean. So everything they've done has been on building out South China Sea. And so Equatorial Guinea.
Yep.
So it's going to get interesting in the next 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, not to get, you know, geopolitical, but this goes back to all the alliances they've built through Africa.
They have to support their trade.
Yeah.
I mean, every empire does this. Yep. This is the British Empire playbook.
It is.
You put a navy out there to protect your trade. So, Adele tickets. Did you guys sign up? So we should hear today. So you have to register to get. So let me back up a second. So she's got one of those residencies in Las Vegas. That sounds so academic, right?
It does.
I love that. So January through April, I guess. So you had to actually sign up. Pick some dates to get into a lottery to be able to draw. So my two daughters and I
got it.
Hopefully we find out today.
So where is she performing? You know?
No. Yes, I do, but I forget.
Indifferent. But.
Right. She told me. No. On that note, let's end this. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week. Thank you for listening.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.